Good afternoon. This is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats Follow Friday, and this is our second part of our show. I'm live streaming, or actually I'm Skyping with the dude Dean. Hey, Dean.
Hey, how you doing? Stay Sean.
And we also have a special guest today. We did a second part of our show because he couldn't make it at 1 o'clock. So it's the CEO of Todacell, Mark Lehman. Mark, did I pronounce that right? Toda?
Yeah. Todacell. It's Hebrew for thank you, and then sell.
Oh, I like that. I should have asked my boyfriend. I'm a member of the tribe. I'm sorry. I'm very, very proud of it.
Oh,
actually.
Okay, great. Yeah,
very so proud of it.
She's a Buju.
Yes.
Oh, okay. What is the Boo for?
I'm Buddhist.
Oh, I should adopt that because I'm half Jewish and half Buddhist as well. Buju. I'm going to incorporate that.
Yeah, I use it all the time. I love it, actually. Actually, my I was just telling Dean that I had a phenomenal Thanksgiving dinner, and he wanted to know how it was done. I was like, well, it was very kosher. We ordered from the deli.
Oh, you did? So, yeah, everything was blessed and did, yes. Was okay. Didn't mix meat and cheese. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way my boyfriend's family is, so. But we've been eating like that. We've been together for 10 years, so yeah. Always, when I try to explain to people what a kosher dinner is like compared to a non-kosher, they think it's kind of strange. But if you are around it and that's how you live, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, you can get used to anything. You know, how long do you have to wait? You know, because traditionally for Thanksgiving you wait after dinner to eat dessert. Like, can you have ice cream at dessert like 2 hours later or 4 hours later? Like, what's the kosher rule for that?
I am not quite sure of that, but I know we don't have ice cream and cake together, in a sense. You know, when Scotty and I first started dating, I always wonder why he never had mayonnaise on his hamburger. You know, he didn't have like a regular hamburger. He didn't even have cheese on his hamburger. And it didn't even, you know, he didn't really talk much about it. He didn't say anything. But when I met his parents, and then one day, I think I made a mistake of putting the cheese next to the, in the refrigerator. They have it all separated. So I kind of like mixed the food, and he pulled me aside and explained that they don't mix the food because everything they have dishes for different, you know, that they're dishes for their seder, they have dishes for everything. So it's hard to explain it to people, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, but you get used to anything after a while.
Oh, I love it. I'm from Vietnam, so yeah. We think that's cool.
Oh, fantastic.
I love it. So, Dean, why don't you take over? I'm going to hop on Twitter because I want to start tweeting that Mark's on with us.
So what are you guys trying to do over there with your new little startup now?
Great. Well, we are booming. We are fast growing. And we want to continue the accelerated pace we have. And right now we are bringing on board more advertisers. And we're bringing on more publishers. And so, like a traditional ad network, we want to grow our network. And so we bring on more advertisers, and we've had some big success stories the last couple of weeks. We brought on Amazon, we brought on DirecTV and Allstate, and a cadre of other branded advertisers, which are big wins for us. And then more premium publishers as well. Our network reaches about 90 million in the United States and about 70% of all apps. And it's about 50% U.S. and 50% Europe and rest of the world. So to continue to grow is what we wanted to do. It's exciting. This is an exciting time to be working in mobile and to be working in high tech.
Well, interesting. Aren't they saying that mobile is like, well, especially in Asia, isn't most everyone on mobile in Asia that they're on their cell phone, their smartphone, or the tablet more than they would on a computer.
Absolutely. I know in Korea and Japan, very advanced there, and I think the penetration of smartphones is very high. And it also just the use of the telephone, the mobile device, as a communication device, and the access to internet is very, very popular in Asia. And it's very, very high penetration rates and a lot of heavy text messaging and communication as well. And also more so in the United States as well. I know that, you know, the cost of entry of getting a phone or a smartphone is much lower than, say, getting a computer. And so it's something that people can have, can personalize, and can be their own. And it's really taking the place of computers now, especially because people can take it with them all the time.
Yeah, plus, the internet tends to be an always-on thing for the mobile device, whereas, you know, if you have a laptop, you might not have a Wi-Fi hotspot or a 3G connection to get online.
Absolutely, yeah. It's always on and it's always with you. And now with, you know, the tsunami of apps that we have available to us, it's not just a communication device, but it could be anything that you want it to be. And so the doors are blown open for what is possible now. And so it's not just a communication device, but anything you could think of. That is really the amazing part about mobile.
Now, how are you differentiating yourselves from, like, say, AdMob?
Sure. Great question. Well, first, we love AdMob. We work closely with them, and we've worked with them for years. And AdMob is great. It's a self-service model. So if you wanted to go and advertise for your store and buy keywords and do AdWords for mobile and so on and so forth, AdMob is perfect for you. How we're different is we're a fully managed service. And so we will manage your campaign from A to Z. So we'll help you set up the campaign, push it live, and then optimize it as well. You know, we want everyone to optimize every dollar they spend on mobile, and so we'll help with the strategy as well. So that's one big key differentiator. And two, we're 100% transparent with what our network is. Now, what that means, the word transparent, is that we'll tell you everywhere where you're being advertised. We'll disclose all of our publishers and then share with you all the data. And that's something that is a differentiator from AdMob and most of the other ad networks as well.
Are you limiting people from your network, per se, since you have this transparency going on?
No. We welcome any advertiser and any publisher as well. And we'll discuss with when we onboard publishers, we tell them what our model is and how it's different. And most publishers are on board with that. Sometimes it results in higher CPMs or, you know, a higher cost to advertise with them. But that is something that usually makes publishers smile.
But wouldn't it make sense for a lot of brands to get into mobile these days? I mean, if you're looking at the trend, how much the smartphone are being sold, the tablet arena is blowing up like crazy. I mean, it just makes sense, in my opinion, to advertise, spend your dollar more toward mobile because it's one of the fast-growing market.
Absolutely. If you could tell every brand for that, what you just said, we would love that. So we absolutely believe that. You know, and you look at the history of the internet, the people that, you know, were the first ones to go onto the internet, like Levi's Jeans was one of the first, and Charles Schwab was one of the first. You know, they were real pioneers. And now, the total advertising spend every year is $500 billion. And then a big part of that is now on the internet. I think it's somewhere around 30%. But, you know, the interactive part is so small with brands. It's only 2% of their budget. You know, they blow out TV and they blow out magazines. And then a small part of that is on mobile. So we're really just starting to see brands bring their dollars to mobile. And the ones that are really doing, exciting things. You know, you look at tablets and what's happening with the New York Times and the rich media experiences they have there. And then ESPN has always been a first mover for doing great advertising campaigns. The rich media, they have takeovers, interstitials. So it really is an immersive experience. There's a lot of buzz about Q1 being a big push into mobile with a lot of brands. And I think they're starting to get there. You know, brands are super busy. They've learned to just master the internet and their advertising campaigns there. So we think that mobile is definitely something they're going to get more into in the near future.
If you're following the trend, let's talk about trending. I mean, has there any, what's the numbers compared to, let's say, 2009 to today, or even a year ago? I mean, I'm sure the trend for mobile ad sales has been going up, not going down. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just back in 2007, which really isn't that long ago, the total ad spend in the United States on mobile was only $33.6
million. Wow.
I mean, that's really not that much. And then in 2009, it was about somewhere about 150 million. And then this year, in 2011, it's supposed to be around $1 billion. And then by 2015, it's supposed to be 5X, about 5 billion. You know, there's Forrester and there's a lot of other research companies that, you know, some say it's a little higher, some say it's a little lower. But between now and just 4 years from now, it's going to be 5X. So it's really boom times in mobile. You know, I was very, very fortunate to be working in the dot-com era in San Francisco in the South of Market area. And I was there from 96 to 2001 and just saw this incredible growth, you know, the buzz and electricity in the air of hundreds of startups coming. You know, it was just, it was palpable. And the same thing is happening now in New York City, in the Union Square and Flatiron area. You just sense the amount of startups in social and in mobile and what's happening now. And there's such a fight for talent. There's almost the same thing that's happening now in mobile than was happening with the internet back then.
So we are like a beginning of what they call the gold rush, but in mobile.
Yeah,
mobile gold rush. Because wasn't the numbers outrageous as far as the mobile device sales? I mean, from not just the iPhone, I'm talking about the Android and all the...
Yes, yes. It's incredible that I actually went to the Apple store today and just seeing the sea of people down in Soho. And, you know, last night I walked by Best Buy at midnight, and there must have been 2,000 people in line at the Best Buy at midnight right before they let everyone in. And just, you know, you have to think that a lot of them are going to be buying mobile devices. And I know the Millennial just put out a report, I believe it was 52% of all web ads being displayed are now on Android devices.
Wow.
You know, the Android devices are slick. They look outstanding. We have several of them here in the office. We have Samsung's, the Nexus ones.
Uh-huh.
And they are incredible. The screens are rich, they're vibrant, they're easy to use. But also we're huge fans of the iPhone as well. And even the Windows phone, the interface is really cool. A friend of mine showed me his just 2 nights ago in the new Mango operating system. So, you know, there's a lot of great players doing very, very interesting things in the mobile space. And we could advertise into all of them.
So you'd get into mobile messaging, the SMS. I always think of mobile marketing. I'm like if somebody texts me, I read that ad before I could even, like, or I mean, I'll look at my phone before I would look at an, like, whatever ad that's going across my phone, I'll look at it or I'll check it out before I would on
yes.
a PC. Why is that? Because I got nothing else to do because I'm holding the phone in my hand? Or is it just that you're brainwashed?
Yeah, you're hoping it's a special message.
Or yeah.
Maybe not the HC Theater or Coca-Cola telling you to refresh your taste buds. You know, it's very, very interesting when you think of the history of advertising. I don't know when you had your first email address, but say 1995, 1996, I read all of my email. And then when the internet started doing internet advertising with banner ads in 97, 98, I looked at most banner ads. And so anytime there's a new median for advertising,
mm-hmm.
People tend to engage at a much, much higher rate. So now, if it's not an email from someone you know, it goes, you know, you don't even read your spam. And most internet advertising, you know, you may notice one or two. And so with mobile, you know, SMS marketing is something that's newer. And so you just tend to look at it more because it's newer. So anytime something is a new type of medium, it gets special attention.
But do you find this is a group? I'm reading out the numbers on this. They're saying that people who are mobile web user tend to be only mobile only. So it means they don't have a desktop, they don't have a laptop, they don't have a tablet. They are on their phone. And they're saying like about 25% of mobile web users are mobile only in the U.S. I mean, this is just a rough numbers.
I could see that.
Is that correct trending?
If it includes teenagers, uh-huh. So if it includes the 13 to 17, because I would think that most of them have phones but don't have computers.
Yeah.
But in terms of other demographics, like students at school, some of them have laptops now, but all of them will have phones, but some of them may not have their own computer. They may go to the computer lab and so on and so forth. But, you know, I'm looking at my desk right now, and I'm looking at my iPhone, my iPad, my computer.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely not that. I have... everything. So 25%.
Mark, we're the junkie.
But I'm not.
We're the junkie who we buy everything that comes out.
Exactly. Like anything and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gadget.
We're gadget. We have problems, but we're okay with it. But I just find that interesting. I've been saying this for a lot. I have been on this mobile kick actually, since 2007. When I first got into Facebook in 2006, I was talking about, and I think, and my background is communications. So I always felt that, the next big boom, yes, social network, all that, it's a great way to communicate. But if you're looking at some tools and how people are using it, most people will look at an ad in a mobile because, A, if it's an SMS text message, you tend to open that up because it's just that's what your brain is trained to do. If you get a text message on your cell phone, what are you going to do? Open it up and read it because it could
yes,
be important.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you're browsing the web and you're on mobile, I don't know what it is, but I just, whatever is in front of me, I'll just have to click on it and see what happened. Or maybe, I'm not even worried about somebody hacking into my cell phone. I'm just not, I read every single ad that I come across. I don't know, maybe because, is it because I'm brainwashed to think that my phone is, I sleep with my phone, it's my best friend, I'm always next with my phone, I don't let go of my phone. So if you think that type of thinking, and everyone out there, almost everybody is getting a smartphone or some type of a phone that is going to get them on the internet.
Yes, when we cross that moment of truth, so to speak, in the internet age, I believe it was in June of 2004 when most people connected to the internet on broadband instead of dial-up, the 56K. And we just had that moment of truth in mobile where most of sales are now smartphones instead of feature phones. Feature phones are those that don't have the fancy things like computer-type capacity on your smartphone. And so now more people are buying smartphones than buying feature phones or less capable phones. And so that is definitely happening now.
And it's going to get outrageously crazy because think about it. Now you can check you can pay your phone bill. You can check your bank account. You can transfer money. You don't even have to be in front of a computer or of any kind. You can be doing anything, having lunch by yourself, and check your phone. Because, most
people... isn't it amazing? Isn't it a miracle? Like, if someone had told you 10 years ago that you would have this device that is small enough to fit in your pocket, and you could have any piece of software on it. I used to be in the software business. I worked at Macromedia, and we would, create Dreamweaver, Flash, and so on and so forth. And it was, they were $300-$400 a pop, and Office, it was, $400 or $500. Now, the software that used to cost $100, we're buying for $1. And we're storing 30, 40, 50 of them on our phone. If someone had told you that 10 years ago, you would have told them this is you're crazy. And so what's happening now with apps is just another word for software or for something to do, for how to do something, is incredible. And just the GPS functionality, the way you can make reservations. And you're still in the cream of the crop, meaning that you're in the top 1-2% of the people doing it. And just think when everyone starts doing it, and everyone it's phenomenal the amount of growth and the innovation we're going to see. It's very exciting.
Well, they're saying that the mobile financial service in itself, the numbers is outrageous. I mean, this I'm looking at 500 million and 1 billion people will access financial services by mobile by 2015.
Absolutely. Yeah. When people think, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you a question. You said you worked with Macromedia before. What do you think about the recent kind of cancellation of Flash on the phone?
Oh, it's very, very interesting that they decided not to go there. I think it's true visionaries. They saw what was happening, and they saw what was happening with HTML5, and they saw what was going to go in the future, and just thought that the adoption rate wasn't what they needed. So I thought it was very, very smart of them. I'm a huge fan of Flash. I'm a huge fan of Macromedia, now Adobe, and what they're doing. So I think that they just see what's coming on the horizon, and it just wasn't needed. So I think it was a smart move on their part. And I still think that Flash will be, of course, omnipresent and ubiquitous on the desktop. It's very, very interesting what happened. I remember I was at Macromedia in the year 2000, and we were having a meeting on the next version of Dreamweaver coming out. And that back then, Apple was actually a much, much smaller business, and they were really, really struggling. And we, and at the time, Windows was about 92% of all Dreamweaver sold, and Apple was only 8%. And there was discussion on whether we should just kill off making it for Apple. And everyone looked around the room. It's like, no, we have to do it. But, and so just, you know, in a lot of ways, these rich graphic and rich development software tools helped keep Apple around. And just, and then for Apple not to be this fan of Flash, I just thought it was always ironic over the years. And this is an interesting story. But I think that with HTML5 and what I see with that, and it's going to really, it'll just take the place of Flash. But the Macromedia is coming out with so many amazing other products for Adobe now that I think that I'm excited to see what they come out with in the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm using, you know, one of my favorite apps that I use is relied upon Adobe technology. The Adobe Air runs TweetDeck.
Mm-hmm.
So without Adobe Air, I mean, I wouldn't be, the, you know, the power user that I am on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. And I love how it takes applications and you're able to view it on other type of devices. And so that I think is amazing.
Oh, yeah. The ability to take my TweetDeck account from my phone to my computer and back and forth and have it work seamlessly is amazing.
Yes. And I expect many... you know, that's just the start of what's going to keep coming out from them. I mean, they always have been making amazing, exciting products. And so I think all the effort they put into Flash will just be repurposed into something else, or at least Flash Mobile.
Well, I want to also talk about how mobile is such a strong, powerful tool these days. I mean, I'm looking at these numbers. They say the percentage mobile only, 70% of people in Egypt only use mobile to get online. And and look what's going on in Egypt. They're like blaming Facebook for what's going on in Egypt. But can we say that what's going on in Egypt because the people have the power of the tool in their hands. So the information is going faster than it is for them to run to the computer on the desktop because they're using mobile.
Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible that a social movement could happen from a from social software and from mobile devices?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's just incredible. You know, you think of Paul Revere running through, you know, through Boston, and what's happening now. To me, it really made me smile and think that anything is possible. You know, when you think of technology and these breakthrough moments, you think, wow, anything's possible. It shows that anything is possible, and really, you know, fantastic tools. And that, with the fact that that what's just happened with the Arab Spring, you know, I wasn't sure if I would ever see something like that in my lifetime. But
yeah,
I think,
exactly.
You know, with like freedom and democracy, you know, in a sense, is kind of inevitable.
But the fact that mobile is one of the I think if it would never happen unless there was mobile involved, because that's, I mean, the numbers I'm looking at is and they're saying like Egypt 70%, India is 59% is mobile only. South Africa, 57%. You notice these countries aren't they in like in turmoil? But right now, like only in 25% in the U.S. percentage mobile only. Russia is the lowest is 19% in Russia.
So, I also think it's because of the per capita GMP. So you know, we tend to make a lot more in the United States. So we're very, very fortunate.
Yeah.
And you should have a lot of gratitude that we can afford all these different things. You know, the fastest growing continent is definitely Africa in terms of mobile devices and the adoption of mobile devices. And the growth rate there is are even exceeding China for how fast it's going. And you think about SMS marketing and what's going on, and you say, hey, okay, I'm living in sub-Saharan Africa, and I have these goods I want to bring to market. I have no way of knowing if someone else is there. I have no way of knowing what's going to happen. So I get on the bus. I take 3 hours. I go to the market. I find out I could do this transaction. So in a sense, it takes me 8 hours to go to the market, sell some stuff, and come back. And now with a mobile device, you could text ahead, find out what's going on, do a transaction. So something that would take you know, a citizen there, a merchant, 8 hours can now be done with a few text messages. So it's amazing at the increase of productivity there. I had read that for you know, for every you know, a certain amount of mobile phones that get into the population, like for every 100 mobile phones, it increases the GMP of the area by a certain amount. And it was just staggering what the amount is. But you could just see the type of productivity there. And so there, I would think it would be even higher than India. You say India was 79%. Mm-hmm. I would have to think in Africa, the percentage of mobile only might even be in the 80s. Well, but there's huge opportunity there, too.
Well, the numbers I'm looking at, actually, this is toward the end of 2010. It's probably changed. It's probably, like, doubled now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at the end of 2011, and actually South Africa is right underneath it. It's, like, the third. Egypt, then okay. India, then South Africa. And then you got Ghana and Kenya and Nigeria after that. Mm-hmm. So that's the end of 2010. That's the numbers I'm looking at, but... Still, but then if you think about mobile, you know, according to Google, most people use mobile to do a search for restaurants. I mean, that's a big market.
Oh, absolutely. And can you believe Yelp is going to IPO? How about that?
What?
I'm a huge fan of Yelp, and I'm a huge fan of you know, being able to figure something out. And, you know, in the past, you know, just 6-7 years ago, I'm like, God, it would be great to know what all my friends and other people think about this restaurant. And now in any city in the United States, you can figure out where to go to, what people think, and really get some real feedback from real people about any type of meal. And there's also the map feature, the feedback. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible. And so, you know, I'm a big fan of Yelp, but I'm glad they're going to IPO and even grow even more.
Well, Dean is a big fan of Yelp. Don't you write a lot for Yelp, Dean?
I've written reviews in the past for Yelp, but there is a dark side to Yelp as well. I mean, they've had
the dark side of Yelp. Yeah.
Tell us about the dark side of Yelp.
Dark side. Well, there's, from the user's perspective, there's people doing funny stuff on Yelp that they shouldn't be doing on Yelp. And there's also funny stuff going on from Yelp itself or, you know, they'll call up businesses and, you know, basically try to, you know, blackmail them into like removing negative reviews or manipulating stuff on the site. So, I mean, Yelp's had its fair share of, you know, controversies in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't think they handled many of them very good at all. I mean, but I still go back there and I post there from time to time and I still need to, you know, write up a bunch of reviews. And I mean, I actually need to write up a negative review about a hamburger joint that I went to at the mall one time after seeing a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I got charged almost $50 for a hamburger one time.
Wow.
You know, I've had steak dinners that were, I could have gotten 2 steak dinners for the price I got charged for a hamburger and a shake at a place.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a hefty burger.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't even that good. So, you know, Yelp is kind of an interesting thing. The local Yelp girl, I believe her name's Maria, she throws on events every now and again. I mean, I wish she'd throw some more events up here in Broward County, you know, because everybody likes to focus on Miami as opposed to what's going on in Fort Lauderdale. You know, it'd be great, you know, if they did that, you know, because they do those events few and far between.
Well, you know, I want to get back to mobile. Mark, when I got the email, when Dean forwarded me the email that you're going to be on this show, I was like, I was excited because I'm
awesome.
I'm like the number one, I'm one of your number one fan actually. And when it comes to mobile, and I want you to I just found this quote by Jason Sparrow from Google. Mm-hmm. He wrote, "It is true across the board. Roughly 1 in 7 searches, even in the smaller categories, are happening on a mobile phone." But how many of you are putting the 1/7 of your resources into mobile? Anyone who hasn't got mobile-only business, your customer is trying to engage you. It would be like not doing business with your customers on Thursday. Jason Sparrow, who is the mobile director for Google.
Yes. Awesome. Way to go, Jason. I know Jason. He's a great guy. So I'm glad he's championing the cause. You know, when you think of like commerce and when you buy something and what goes into it, you know, often I think that e-commerce or mobile commerce is unfairly just talked about the actual transaction. When does the transaction happen? Does it happen online or when you go and buy something? For example, if you do all of your research to buy a new car online, say 95% of research, you figure out where you're going to go, and then you find the actual dealership to go and buy it. Shouldn't 95% of that be attributed to e-commerce? I mean, just because the transaction happened offline, you did all of your research. Now, mm-hmm. think of what Jason Sparrow was saying. Now, if you do most of your research on mobile or figure out where you're going to eat dinner that night and you're searching for restaurants and you do all of your, you know, you're walking around Fort Lauderdale and so, you know, you're all Yelping or doing whatever, like, shouldn't that count as m-commerce? I know it's a little bit of a gray area, but mm-hmm. that should count towards some type of e-commerce, even though the transaction doesn't happen there. If you're getting information that leads you to the transaction, that's a whole different way to think about how the dollars and cents should fall and be counted.
Well, Google is the you think Google, you think of search engine. So they know what they're talking about. And they actually have a whole thing. It's called Google Mobile Ads App they're setting up. Also, mm-hmm. and I'm on this page where they I guess apparently they had a Electra Think Mobile 2011, and mm-hmm. They gave these statistics, which was mobile fast facts, which I thought was interesting and it makes a lot of sense. They wrote, how well do you know the U.S. mobile smartphone users? Did you know 39% use their internet on their smartphones while going to the bathroom? I do. That's the only time I have time. 70% have used their smartphones while shopping in store. 88% mm-hmm. of people looking for local information have taken action within a day. 82% of smartphone users notice mobile ads.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. One of my favorite writers in mobile, Steve Smith, he writes for MediaPost. You know, he's brilliant, witty, fun. And he's really a great guy. He had just wrote, I believe in Wednesday's media post, that, you know, in the store is a new battleground for mobile. You know, you said 71% are using their phones when they're in retail. So when I'm at the Best Buy and I am looking at a computer and I have my iPhone in my hand, I no longer have to guess if this is the best price. You know, I can look on my phone. If I have an app that scans the UPC, it suddenly checks out all these other things. So it's a new battleground. And so I believe the smart companies, the smart marketers will take this into account when trying to create a better customer service or customer experience rather, and what they're trying to sell. So that's very, very interesting, like what's going to happen now, because no longer will people be handcuffed when they're inside of stores, and there'll be a lot of opportunity they could do. I heard at a conference as well that, you know, the Best Buys of the world, is they're just a shopping area for people to go to Amazon. You know, they just go and look to see what they want, and they go home and buy it on Amazon. So it's a really interesting time for what's happening with brick and mortar stores. And with the power of the mobile device. I don't think we're quite there yet, mm-hmm. But we're getting closer.
No, I totally agree with you. And actually, you know, when I was at Walmart doing just my boyfriend thought it was funny to take me to Black Friday shopping, and he's trying to teach me how to do it correctly. He just thought it was funny. But you know how people are, like, all these parents are grabbing all these toys and scanning the price? I mean, if they had a QR, you know, it just dawned on me, like, if everything was being... I had QR on it, and they just used their phone to take pictures, you know, just to scan it, to get the information from it. Wouldn't that be a much quicker way for, advertiser or people to get their product out by having apps like that instead of having mm-hmm. craziness going on in the store?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think so, and I think that some of the smarter, forward-thinking brands and companies are able to do it. Again, you know, I empathize with the marketer today. You know, everyone, especially in a recession, is overworked. You know, what's important in a recession is to get more productivity out of the workers you have, and you know, everyone seems to tighten their belts, those with jobs, and are fortunate, and they're doing more with less. And so when you think, okay, I've just mastered the internet, I've created this great customer experience, I've mastered my value chain to all of my retailers, and now I got to come up with QR codes, and now I got to figure out mobile. And so it's another thing that's thrown into their toolkit for what they have to master in order to have another touch point with customers. And so those that are doing it, I think, are smart, because, you know, one of the fastest growing segments of those getting smartphones and going on to Facebook are moms. Yeah. You know, moms are figuring out, hey, if I want to talk with little Jimmy or little Susie, I better learn how to text message and learn how to follow them and learn how to interact with them via my smartphone. And so when they're at the store, you know, they're at the Walmart and they see the mom next to them, like, scanning something, it's like, hey, what's that mom doing?
Yeah.
And so I think that it's going to grow very, very fast. And so the smart companies will be able to do that. And, you know, especially now, moms are always looking for the deal. And so that'll motivate them to get over the learning curve for how to use stuff.
But I think nowadays, like, the parents are buying the kids the nicer phone. Because I have friends that are like, oh, I'm going to get my phone, my son, the iPhone 4S, but they're sold out, and I'm just going to take his old 3GS. And I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? Shouldn't you have the iPhone 4S and your kids should have the 3GS? But everyone I know now is the other way around. They're providing all this for their kids. And I just find that mobile is going to explode tremendously in 2012 as far as ad spending, because I mean, most for people to buy a campaign and spend money on a newspaper ad, they won't be able to get that whole analytic compared to spending money on a mobile ad campaign. And again, you know, depending on what your market is, but it just makes, I don't know about you, but it makes sense to me. I mean, if you're gonna,
yeah. It does. And it depends a lot on what you are trying to sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
So if you and I are a Hollywood studio and we have a blockbuster movie coming out and we want 80% of America to know, and we have, you know, a $200 million budget, you just go, you're off to the races. You'll do bus stops, you know, billboards, TV,
yeah.
Anything. But if you are a leaner company and you have a $500,000 or $1 million budget, and you want to know what people are doing right away, mobile is definitely the way to go. We are able to tell someone what's going on in 10 minutes, you know, across a number of sites, what's working, what's not working. So they could set up their campaign and we could give them data back in real time and then optimize that. For example, if you could say, hey, you know, we advertise on, you know, a few hundred sites. These sites are working. These ones are not. Spend more on the ones that are working. Spend less on the ones that aren't. And you get data back on the, hey, this is the type of customer that's interested in your product. And, you know, of course, when you're advertising on bus stops and other things, you just don't get that real-time feedback. So it's not as smart in terms of data capture.
Which makes a much more – it makes a lot of sense now, especially for people to an ad buy. Because if you're going to spend all that money, you better have the final result or something at the end of the year. Or the end of the campaign. And, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of big brand, and I think the smaller ones will be going too, they know that they need to do something where they can capture the audience and also be able to show it how much money they're spending to get that result.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Big data. You know, we like, there's a motto here. I tell people, data-driven decision-making. You know, mm-hmm. get the data and make better decisions from it. And that is a real way to show the ROI. And something that Totusell does as a fully managed service is we'll work with our partners to say, hey, what numbers do you need to hit? And say, you know, what is your model? What is the ROI you need to hit? And then let's figure out a campaign where you know that you're hitting your numbers and getting the sales and leads that you need in order to make this profitable and worthwhile for you. You know, we see this as we see partnerships as really the true way to do business and helping our partners grow their business and grow it through mobile. And by defining the data we need to hit, or defining the goals we need to hit and the data we need to get there is a real way to form a true partnership. And that's something that we embrace and advocate as well.
So where do you see your company, like, by the end of 2012? Because it seems like you are ahead of its time. I'm on your website right now, Todacell, TODACELL.com. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And it just, right here it says, everything is Tuda now, the only 100% transparent smartphone mobile ad network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now ready for publishers and advertisers to join. So
yes.
Can you tell the two parts of your company? One is for the publishers. What can you do for a publisher?
Sure. So if you are a publisher and you created an application, mm-hmm. right, and you want to make money off of your application, we can help monetize it by putting ads into it. For example, we just had a great conversation with a company that does like what Skype does. It's a competitor to Skype, and they have uh-huh. billions of users, and they want to figure out, well, how can we make money? And so we could help them monetize their site by serving ads to it. And we do this with large mobile websites as well. You know, you have some sites that are exploding. You know, they have millions and millions of impressions every month, and then we help bring ads to them. And so they have ad inventory, and we help them fill it, and that's how we help publishers. And we also give a real market feedback to publishers as well. We tell them what the latest advertisers are looking for, what they're interested in. And so we help aggregate data and information about the market and then give that to our publishers so they can have a better sense of what's happening with mobile.
That's fantastic. And then for the advertiser, can you go down a little bit more details on what you do?
Sure. So we have a client, you know, a real example, who was launching two apps in France, and they wanted to generate 1,000 downloads each within a couple of days. And so they contacted us and said, hey, can you generate downloads for us with this app? We need to get 1,000 each in just a few days. And so we were able to provide that service to them. And then we also had a huge client, wanted to do advertising specifically on Android tablets. Android tablets is a hot space, and they wanted to do it in the United States, the UK, and Germany. And so we were able to do that as well. So they know that they wanted to target tablets, they wanted to target in these countries, and they wanted Android only. And so that's something we're able to do for advertisers. So you think of any type of targeting that you would want, like we could target iPhone or Android, we could target tablets, we could target certain demographics or behavioral targets as well. And so anything an advertiser wants, we could do that.
But I'm looking at all your different solutions. You do a search provider, but also you do a location-based services?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So location-based, it's a really, really hot thing. It's becoming more popular. And so we have two clients that have very interesting models. And what they do is that they deliver a social buying site ad. You can think of Groupon, Living Social, mm-hmm. to someone in a specific location. And what we do is we capture the longitude, latitude of where that user is and then serve a specific ad to them based upon that location. So if you're in San Francisco, Atlanta, Portland, we could serve an ad based on meaning geography.
Oh, nice. And that's one of the fastest growing thing nowadays is the location base.
Yeah, it is, especially with more and more people using their phones and being on the internet. It is becoming much more popular.
And then I'm like looking at some of the things you do, instant messaging. That's one of the fastest growing too.
Yeah, like the amount of like traffic on instant messaging is just mind-boggling for what they do. And we have a great client. They're called eBuddy, and I love eBuddy. What eBuddy does is they aggregate all of your IM clients, like AIM, ICQ, uh-huh. Facebook, and so on and so forth, and puts it all into one client. And so you could have all of your IM contacts there, which is just a great service. We love eBuddy. And so what we do is we help them monetize it because they have billions and billions of impressions. And so we serve ads into that.
Oh, nice. That's fantastic. Yeah, because I we talked a little bit about this. I think that instant messaging is very quick, very fast. A lot of people, companies are using it within their network, and especially if you're using it on the phone. It's constant going. I can imagine how much ad campaign can be like spent on that. Because everybody's on
yes. it. Yes. There's so many different impressions that come up, so you can really go through a lot of different impressions. If a client wants to just brand and have their brand there, like say... Uh-huh. The new Twilight movie is coming out, and they want to hit teenagers and IM. They would just try to buy as much as possible. But if someone is a little more thrifty and they want to just know that someone is interested, they could buy it on a CPC, meaning a cost per click method, so that they would only pay every time if someone actually clicks on the ad.
Fantastic. Okay, well, we have about 10 minutes to the show. Almost 15, actually.
Let me ask you this question. There's a lot of, like, buzz about Siri now. Do you think Siri's going to be bad for mobile marketing and mobile advertising, or is it going to be a good thing?
You know, we've had voice recognition for some time, and I hear what Siri has done now is just increase the level of people using it, and so I think it's great. And my friends who are using it really, really like it. And so, you know, I still just have an iPhone 4, and we're sold out in New York, and so as soon as I get one, I'm going to, you know, try it out. I think, you know, the advent of technology is inevitable. And so I think it'll only help us, and we'll figure out how to make it a better customer experience for people, and how to make it a better experience overall with the mobile device. And so I think that the outcome will only be positive for consumers. And so I'm not quite sure how people will use it yet, and how advertising fits into that, but I expect it to be positive.
Nice. I just was reading some stuff up about you, so. So you've been doing this for a while here.
Yeah. I love mobile. I'm very, very fortunate. I've been doing it for over 7 years in New York City. Uh-huh. And New York, wow. And I would say the West Coast, definitely seem like a hub of mobile activity. I worked at a company called Flycell, which was a ringtone mobile data company. From 2004 to 2007. And we just sold tons and tons of ringtones, games, text messaging, and a lot of apps. You know, it's hard to believe that there were a lot of applications that were available on any type of device before the iPhone came out. They weren't as sophisticated or easy to use. You know, Apple changed the game on that, but you could get an app as long as your phone had internet connectivity. And we saw tremendous growth there. You know, I was one of the first employees at Flycell here in the U.S., and we put together all the IKEA furniture the first couple of days. And then within 2 years, I think it was 1.8 million customers and over 100 million in revenue. It was just amazing. We went from 6 people to 80 people in 2 years. And they just opened a brand new office down in the financial district. And I went and looked, and it's bright, shiny, beautiful.
Wow.
Great views. They're doing really well. They're doing well, and I cheer them on.
Well, I want to find out. You worked at the VP of, you're the VP of mobile and web at Universal Music and Island Def Jam. That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must have been incredible.
I think it was one of the most entertaining and fun jobs someone could have. You know, when you come to New York, you know, we've all seen the 80s movies, like The Secret of My Success with Michael J. Fox and this and that. And so the first day at Universal Music, you know, I go and I see the huge boardrooms and I see all the records on the walls and there's just stars walking around all the time. It was really quite impressive, and I was starstruck for quite a bit. And it was really a fantastic job. What I was tasked to do with my team was to create a new web presence for Island, Def Jam, and Rockefeller, Jay-Z's label, and put it all into one website, Island Def Jam, and then make websites for all of the artists.
Wow.
And then also make applications for them on iPhone and Android, and mobile websites, and their social media as well.
Holy cow.
And it was very, very exciting. I believe we helped out Justin Bieber make his Facebook page and his Twitter page, and Mariah Carey and Kanye, and it was really exciting. You know, it's hard to believe, but back in 2008, Facebook and Twitter weren't that popular yet. You know, 3 years later, they have millions and millions of fans, and so that was very, very exciting. And what was interesting there is that we had many vendors come to us all the time saying, hey, you know, we have this great technology. Could we use your artist for it? We have this great karaoke app, or we have a Zippo lighter app. And it was fun being able to work with these artists to be able to, marry them with other people's technology. And then just to produce, website, app, and a social media site. One after the other. It's really a dream job for anybody.
Yeah, but you were there from the beginning. They wouldn't really be who they are today as fast as they're growing. Wouldn't be because, you know, someone like yourself coming up with all the branding for them. Because what you talked about back then, no one was doing. And now everyone's, yeah, you know, every brand is doing that. But especially in the music industry, there wasn't that much of, you know, that kind of branding done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't, you know, and, you know, some people say that, you know, music is waiting for the post-apocalyptic model, like what's going to happen, because we all know that, you know, where record sales are going, that 95% of music is downloaded off the internet instead of being bought. And so really, I think people are experimenting and trying new models. You have Spotify coming out with a new type of model. You have Pandora that is IPO'd. And these are really, really exciting businesses. But at the core, it's still the artists who are making, you know, fantastic music. And if anything, I think it's opened the door for, you know, instead of a handful of artists, you know, thousands of different artists that are accessible by so many different fans. And so I think that what mobile has done and social as well has really made it available to so many more people just to access the great artists and great acts, and to have these great acts be able to reach so many consumers and fans is unlike any other time in music history. So that is really, really exciting. Well, and Def Jam, they've been around for 25 years, and so I was just helping them with
the, yeah, but you brought them into the 21st century, though. You don't yeah. You know, come on, give yourself some kudos here. You do know your mobile business.
Fun. I mean, it's fun. It's seeing, you know, being in a place where, like, you know, worldwide stars are just walking around all the time. Like, that was that was really exciting. You know, like, you'd have Rihanna in the office or Kanye in the office, you know, just there to, you know, work on stuff. That's definitely exciting.
Wow, Mark, it's incredible. And Dean, let's wrap up the show. But Mark, wow, you know, with your direction for to that sale, I see the company going to go very far, because your experience is incredible. I mean, like, I didn't get a chance to really research you until, like, I'm looking at your information.
So,
I'm like, wow.
Mark, the last question is, when do you think Google's going to buy you out like they've
had
about that?
So
you guys could be frenemies together.
I like AdMob, I like Google, and you know, believe it or not, I remember when Google was launched in 1998, and so we, you know, we're big fans. You know, Totusell, we're really, really lucky. Just from a year ago today, we have three times as many employees, our revenues are 3x, and we see a really, really bright future in mobile, and it's fun, it's exciting to be in New York and to be working at this type of startup. And so if I would say where would I want to be a year from now, is to have the same type of growth. We're 14 people, you know, it'd be great to be 50, and it'd be great to triple our revenue again.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be great if you're Jason Sparrow's boss?
Jason's smarter. Jason's a really, really smart, innovative guy. He's leading the charge over there. Yeah, they're doing great things.
Well, we heard it here. Okay, you never know. I might be psychic. But again, Mark, thank you so much. And can you give us how can we contact you?
I go to our website and check out Totusell.com, and you can email me, mark@totusell.com as well. I would love to have any feedback. And thank you so much for your time. You guys have been really fun on this interview, and you've asked fantastic questions. So I hope this is useful and helpful to anyone.
Oh, it will be. Listening. It is. No, actually, I'm going to post it. We're going to make a link for it and everything. And I'll write a Storify story on it. So we'll do a lot of online stuff with it. So we'll forward you the email. With the link and everything. But thank you so much, Mark. And it's a pleasure. And again, best of luck to you, which I don't think you need any luck. You know what you're talking about.
And you guys are awesome.
We are so thrilled that we were able to chat with you on social chats. So everybody have a great day, and make sure you eat a lot of leftover and have a lot of fun and spend lots of money, and make sure you buy tons of smartphone, because, you know, mobile is the way to go. Dean,
okay, awesome.
Take care. Have a great day, Dean. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Okay, all right. Ciao.
Bye, guys. Bye, everybody.